God, and we are ready for that. Amen. It is indeed an honor for us to have Brother and Sister Newman with us from Oregon. We are very appreciative that they are here today. He was with us at our Christmas banquet this past Friday night. He spoke to us concerning peace. Amen. And this world needs to know peace. And the only way that they're going to know peace, first of all, is they're going to have to see it from us, to open up to hear it from us. Amen. Praise God. This world is in total commotion, total darkness, and they need to know the peace of God that would come in and be able to settle their life. The world would ask, how can you be at peace? Amen. It's because I know the peace speaker. I know the Prince of Peace. Praise God. And I'm comfortable with him being God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want Brother Newman to come. We want him to open up the Word of God. We want him to speak to our hearts here this morning. And we want him to take his liberty, amen, here today and to help us today. Amen? Praise God. Why don't you lift your hands and your voices as he comes here today in Jesus' name.
Oh, that's it. Let's lift up our voice for a few more moments here together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. I'll try to behave myself and mind my manners. Sometimes I forget and I just get focused and I zero in. But I want to thank your good pastor and pastor's wife. What tremendous, tremendous people of God these two are. Amen. And I know that you're embarking on a great journey with them, and I wish that I could meet the elder of this great congregation that I stand before today. I know there's been transition here, but transition is not to be negative. It's a positive. And it really depends. I was thinking about two men that were responding to transition. One of them was Peter, and the other one was Judas. For one, it was the opening of the gospel. Amen. It was the gospel of salvation, but Jesus had to die. To the other, he committed suicide. There's a transition. There's a transition. And it can be a good one. Amen. I didn't even plan on saying that. That just came to me. Amen. But I do wish that the elder was here today. I would love to meet him. And I hope that this is not the last time. I don't think that it will be. However, I wish I was here to meet him. I look at this beautiful edifice. I look at you wonderful people of God, and I see that the Lord has had his hand on you. And I am thankful for that. And his truth is marching on. Amen. So I thank God for my friends here today, the Cowans. I cannot say enough good about them. And how much I appreciate them. I'm going to let you be seated because I'm just going to transition into this. I apologize. I may be a little bit unorthodox when I say this and not reading a scripture before. You know, I guess that may be a tradition or a protocol or whatever, but I guess I'm just not into protocol. So you'll have to pardon me there. I apologize if that's too off for you. when I came into the building this morning, first thing that came to my mind as I just opened up and I said, good morning, Lord. And as I said, good morning, Lord, he immediately responded back, good morning. And then I felt an impression. I felt an impression. And it was this, that you have not been waiting on me. I have been waiting on you. I've been here. I've been anticipating. I've been expecting. I've been so enthralled with the meeting that I'm going to have with my people today. And I begin to weep and I begin to cry and say, oh God, I had to struggle to wake up when the alarm went off. And I thought, man, it would be nice to sleep just a little bit longer. But you did not go to sleep and you did not have to wake up. But rather, you were anticipating meeting with us today. And he was ready. He is ready. Amen. And so I say that in the beginning here this morning, that God, we are not waiting on you. You are waiting on us. And I know just because of humanity and who we are, oftentimes we think, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something for me. I'm just waiting for God to show up. I'm waiting for God to do. I'm waiting for God to speak. I'm waiting for God to come into action. The truth of the matter is he's waiting on us this morning. And he's waiting on us to receive. He's waiting on us to be healed. He's waiting on us to be delivered. He's waiting on us to be anointed. He's waiting on us to receive everything that he already has waiting in store, sitting there, waiting for you to open it up, for you to take advantage of it. Amen. Amen. And I believe that that's where we're at. I had been praying, and there was things that just been going back and forth in my mind. And I said, God, what does this congregation, what do the sheep of your pasture right here need today? And I pray that I can be a blessing to you through the word of the Lord. Has nothing to do with me, has everything to do with him. So let me start here this morning that the year was September 14th, 1860. A man by the name of Charles Blondin walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Large crowds had come that day on both the Canadian side and the American side, and I realize today that maybe some of you have heard this story, read this story. Maybe it's been used in times before, but it just came to me again today. I know that I've used it. I've heard others use it before. So this may not be something new, and I didn't necessarily come to bring something new. This is the word of the Lord. All them fellers before me have already preached it. And so I'm just bringing it to us again. Amen. So standing on the American side, Charles asked the crowd, does anyone believe that I can cross these falls with holding just this balance pole? And nobody answered. They were filled with anticipation. And I read some things about this man, and he was always about the thrill and the excitement. And it's amazing how we as humans are pretty morbid. The excitement of the people was, is he going to fall? Is he going to fall to his death? That's all that they were thinking about. They weren't really thinking about his ability to get to the other side. They were anticipating the danger of death. And so he begins to walk across to slowly and carefully as he goes across the wire and begins to reach the Canadian side. The crowd begins with sheer enthusiasm and excitement, begin to cheer wildly as he gets to the other side, and with relief. With relief, they're like, oh, he made it. And 20 minutes later, he says, do you think I can make it across this, the other side again with a chair? And as the story goes on, he has done this multiple times, but one time in particular, he asked them, do you think I can make it across with a wheelbarrow? And they said nothing. They're like, no way, this just can't happen. Yeah, he made it across with a chair. Yeah, he made it across with this and so on and so forth. Some amazing feats. But when he took off across the wire with a wheelbarrow, things got a little bit concerning. And he makes it finally to the other side. Long story short, the crowd is going crazy. They're just amazed by his ability. And then he said something to this effect. Does anyone want to now get in the wheelbarrow? You believe that I could go because I proved to you the first time with a balancing pole. You believe now that I can do it with a chair. You believe there was one point that he sat down on the middle of the wire and he lowered a rope down below and he tied a bottle of champagne on the boat below. I believe it was called Mary Mist or something like that, and hauled it up and drank some champagne and then lowered it back down, got up and finished his journey across the tightrope. He had proven himself over and over and over again that he could do it. And the crowd was believing and had such faith. But then, when he asked the crowd, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? All of a sudden, nobody has faith. Nobody's got any faith now. Everybody's concerned. Are you kidding me? There was no hands going up. There was nobody saying, hey, I want to be the first one. It was one thing to applaud. It was one thing to lift up your voice and to shout. But it was quite another thing to get in the wheelbarrow. Yeah. Applauding is an act of belief. Oh, let's everybody clap our hands unto the Lord, the righteous King forever. I done messed up already. But getting in the wheelbarrow is a different act of faith. It's different. However, it was said that just 2 weeks later, his manager got on his back. Finally, somebody did have enough faith. And I find this very unique that when he tells his manager, he said, this, I quote, look up, Harry. You are no longer Colin Cord. It was Harry Colin Cord. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Maybe I'm wrong. He said, you're no longer Harry Colin Cord. You are Bolden. Until I clear this place, be a part of me, my mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to balance yourself. If you do, we both will go to our death. I just wonder, isn't that kind of like God? I've proven to you over and over and over again that I can. Yeah. Now why don't you get on my back? And, oh God, have mercy, Jesus. I just wonder, as he says, get on my back and we're going
to the other side. It's amazing that it was quoted that at that particular time that a couple of the guy wires actually snapped while they were on it. But Harry did everything that he could to be one with Bolden. His mind, his body, his soul, he leaned when Bolden leaned. He became one with him. And oh God, what could happen? What could happen? And though it may seem impossible, though it seem may seem so far stretched, though it seems like, no, I just can't go to the other side, if we would just get on the back of Jesus and become one with him in mind, in body, in soul. I'm using those words, but you understand this morning what I'm talking about. Not my will, but thy will. It's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I feel. It's not about what I can see. But oh God, let me have your mind. Let me feel the beating of your heart. Let me get in one with your soul, with the Spirit, God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Jesus. 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 You see, enthusiasm is just emotion. Optimism is an attitude. But faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. The results of faith defy the normal process of human order. I said faith defies the process of human order. When you say there's just no way, God said, get on my back. Come on over to the other side and let me show you a substance that you can believe in. And therefore now I bring you to the scripture, to the truth of God's word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell somebody here this morning that you may not see it today, but faith doesn't live in the realm of humanity. Faith says it's a substance. Amen. And faith is saying, I see revival, I see deliverance, I see healing, I see the anointing, I see a breakthrough, I see, I see, I see. But it's now faith. I love the word of God because it is so relative to right here and right now. I'm not talking about yesterday. Is there anybody in the house that it can attest to miracles of yesterday? Come on, raise your hand. You had a miracle? Anybody ever been healed in yesterday or yesteryear? Or come on. Yes, you have. You have. But I want you to forget about it. Why should I forget about it? That's what God did. No, it's okay that you remember it to a degree. But don't live in the past when God is saying now. When God is saying now. When God is saying now. Oh, God. God's saying now, faith. Now, faith. I want you to leave the past behind. And I want you to get some brand new faith this morning. Today. Today. Hey. And I'm not talking about until you waiting until after service when the altar. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about right here, right now. Some of you are starting to feel a little bit of faith rise up. A little bit of encouragement rise up. You're saying, right now. Right now. What is it that you need right now? You see, I don't have to preach an hour. I can stop right now. If faith rises up in your heart, if faith rises up in your spirit, if faith rises up inside of you, and you begin to say, yeah, right now, I need deliverance. Right now, I need a healing right now, right now. Because God is here right now. I said, because you're here. Yes, you are. But God is here. And he says, I got a gift. I got a miracle just waiting on you. You just got to receive it. You just got to receive it. You just got to receive it. Right now. Here at once. God can do more for you in the next moment. Not in the next hour. Not in the next day. Not in the next week. Some of us are looking too far in the future. And I believe in that. But we got to get away from looking too far in the future too. And understand that God wants to work in your life now. Now, faith. You may not know or understand what's going on in the heavenlies right now, but I feel this right now in the Holy Ghost, and it's been three times that I feel the Holy Ghost has spoke to me and said, I'm working on the backslider. I'm working on the sons and the daughters. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. You may not see it right now, but I'm telling you now, faith is a substance. Now faith is a substance. Come on, somebody get on the back. Get on the back of Jesus. Let him take you to the other side. Trust him. Get in his mind. Let his heart be your heart. Let his mind be your mind. Let it consume you now. Come on, get it now. Get it now. Get it now. Get it now in the name of Jesus. Get it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive that promise. Receive that miracle. Receive that healing. Receive that deliverance. Come on. Shake off that fear. Get on his back and trust him. Now, come on, somebody say it now. It's my now faith. Come on, not tomorrow, not next week. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now. Come on, somebody say it. Come on, somebody say it. You say, well, I don't know if I really believe that or not. Come on, I want you to speak faith now. It is now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Those of you that are believing for now faith right now, I want you to continue to do that. But we've got a little bit more work in the Holy Ghost to do, because I want everybody to get on board. I want everybody to receive their miracle. I want everybody to receive the blessing of the Lord. I want everybody in the house to go out differently than they came in today. Woo, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Come on, it's yours right now. Woo! 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 All right, all right. This is right. This is good. I don't want to lose this right now. And I don't know that I've ever really done this before, but we can't stop here. There's another dimension that we've got to go here. So those of you right now, the faith that you've already gained, that you're already got, I want you to continue that, and we're going to build thereupon. Hebrews 3 and 7 said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. As the Holy Ghost saith. I began to pray this morning, and I said, God, what do you want to say? And I opened up to this scripture. The Holy Ghost saith. I said, all right, God, that's good enough for me. The Holy Ghost saith today. I said, okay, I got it, Lord. Today, the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice and harden not your heart. Come on, somebody. I know there's doubt in your mind. I know there's fear in your mind. And you're trying to analyze me because you don't know who I am. But let me tell you, I don't know who you are. But if you know who God is, like I know who God is, it doesn't matter. You don't have to figure me out, and I don't have to figure you out, because it ain't about that. It's about God Almighty. It's about the Holy Ghost, that His Spirit wants to move. His Spirit wants to take you to another level. He wants to take you to the other side. So please, for the love of everything that is sacred before God, harden not your heart. Harden not. I want you to pray right now. If you're feeling some doubt, if you're feeling some fear, oh God, let my heart be tender. Let my heart be moldable. Let my heart be pliable. I don't want to harden my heart like they did in the wilderness. God, you gave that as an example for me that I don't repeat the same mistake of my forefathers, but that I can mature and I can grow and I can go to new heights in you. We must not forget the truth of God's word when he said, your fathers tempted me and they proved me and they saw my works 40 years. Come on, somebody. They saw me go back and forth with a balance pole. They saw me go back and forth with a chair. They saw me go back and forth with a wheelbarrow, but yet they still grieved me. Because they did not know my ways. And he said, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That makes me quake to my very soul. It stirs me. I thought, oh God, I do not want to not be able to enter in to your rest, to that peace, to that purity of your spirit. He said, take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren. Somebody please listen to the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody please listen to the Holy Ghost right now. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now that... For those that are struggling with their faith right this moment, you would say, preacher, don't tell me I have an evil heart. You have an evil heart. You have an evil heart when you don't believe. That makes me mad. You say something like that. Let me tell you something. It shouldn't make you mad. It should just put a check there in your spirit, because God in his ever-loving kindness is wooing you and drawing you, saying, that's what I don't want you to do. I remember in 2008, I had an experience with God on this very matter. I thought I had graduated. I thought I had become. I thought I got to a place in God that I had enough faith, and I felt like it was so strong. I felt like things were going so well, but I prayed sincerely and I asked God, what do I need? Search me, O God. Reveal to me the hidden things of my heart. And he simply said, you have an evil heart of unbelief. I'll never forget falling on my face and saying, oh God, forgive me for my unbelief. You see, I believed God for the things that were easy, for the things that I could see, for me as a human that I could tangibly put in God in my little box. But when God said, no, I want you to go to a different place. Whoa, 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 whoa. I want you to do something different. I want you to go beyond. Whoa, 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 wait. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. This is humanly impossible. That can't be done quite like that. You know, God, if you could do it like this, I could roll with you. I could do it if you did it like this, God, but doing it like that, I don't think that's a good idea. Who am I? Who am I?
Verse 13 of that setting said, but exhort one another. And I'm doing it today. I'm exhorting you today. I'm exhorting you today. Exhort one another while it is called today. I know it was preached back then. I know it's been preached 1,000 bazillion more times since then. But today matters. I'm telling you, today matters. Today is what's mattering. You may have heard it before and God took you to a level. And you may have heard it another time in the past and God took you to another level. But let me tell somebody here today that God, the creator of the ends of the earth, is saying, I've taken you this far. Let me tell you, honey, I can take you all the way. I can take you to new places. I can take you to greater heights. I can do more for you than you can even begin to imagine. Come on, faith. Now faith, now faith, now faith. It's substantial, it's firm, it's solid. I'm going to tell you, and the reason why I stopped you for just a few moments to preach a little bit more is because I want us to be very careful not to be caught up in the emotion. Because Pastor Kellen, I know what it's like to feel the presence of God. Uh-huh. And you all know what it feels like to feel the presence of God. And then walk out of those doors. And emotion doesn't last. Emotion dissipates. So I'm not concerned about your emotions today. I don't want you to get emotional. I don't want you to be optimistic. That's not what I'm looking for. I want faith. I want faith. I want faith to be built inside of your spirit so strongly, so passionately, so fervently that when you walk out of this building, it's not that you feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but you're on the back of the one. You're on the back of the one that created the heavens and the earth, that spoke the things that were not as though they were, but you're on the back of the Creator. You say, but preacher, you don't understand my situation. Let me tell you something. I don't need to understand your situation. All you need to do is understand my God. All you need to do is understand my God. That He created. So when you don't see there is a way, He creates a way. And we got Bible over and over again that He creates a way where there seemeth to be no way. I know what it feels like to have your enemy at your back in a Red Sea in front of you and say, funny, ha ha. I know. I understand. I get it. And then a wind out of nowhere. Take your stick, Bubba. Put it over that water. Put that one in your joke book, God. That was funny. Get your stick out over the water. What would have happened if he wouldn't have just went? Sometimes that's what it feels like. You go, don't make sense, but.
Yeah, come on.
This seems pretty. This seems so foolish.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you begin to think about it in your mind. You begin to process it all in your mind. You think of how foolish this looks, how absurd this is, and you just That's fear. That's doubt. Come on. Even if you're struggling with that, go ahead and stretch that stick out. That stick ain't nothing. That stick ain't nothing. That stick ain't nothing but faith. And that Red Sea ain't nothing but water. And it don't mean anything to God.
I'm going to make you the father of many nations.
What?
Did I hear you right? I don't even have any kids. What are you talking about, bro? You say, no, I'm being real with you. Because I've said the same things to God. I'm like, yeah, right, sure. Very funny, ha-ha. No. Some of y'all think I'm being disrespectful. I'm going to tell you what. However you would talk to your closest friend, you need to be as real as that to God. And understand that He's listening to you. Understand that He is hearing every word and be prepared for a response. About 9 months ago, I told God, you can't make me.
Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't do that.
Amen.
Because He might talk back to you. And He did. And He said to me, you're right. I can't make you. I can't make you. And it startled me. I thought, whoa. So He agrees with me that He can't make me. But then He didn't stop there, brother. He said, but you'll never be happy.
I screamed at the top of my lungs, God, that isn't fair. That isn't fair.
The problem is my faith was being tried at that moment. And that even though I said, that isn't fair, I took a few more steps and I said, okay. I'll do it. And I'm telling somebody here today, you may think certain things aren't fair. You may think that it should be this way or it should be that way. You may be questioning why and how come, and you don't understand it all. Let me tell you, it's okay.
I'll be a preacher that'll tell you, go ahead, argue with God. Because when He starts talking back, at least you know you got a direct line. Go ahead, talk to Him. Go ahead and talk to Him. Go ahead and let Him talk back to you. When it's all said and done, know that you just had a conversation with the Creator of the ends of the earth. Abraham didn't get his children overnight. He didn't become the father of many nations, but he can see it now. Wow, I am the father of many nations. He didn't get to see it on the day it was promised. He didn't get to see the end result to now. And let me tell you, that still doesn't change the aspect that he was still called the father of the faithful. Amen. That still doesn't change the fact that he still walked in faith. And now, that we can see God's promise was true. Noah didn't build that ark overnight. The children of Israel didn't come to the promised land in an hour. Joseph didn't receive his promotion, amen, unto greatness. He didn't, of his dreams. Joshua didn't have victory over Jericho in a day.
So as we may sit there and fantasize about the future, that isn't necessarily faith. Because faith is now.
So I know this morning that I'm standing and I could read a ton more scripture here.
I'm standing before a great congregation. And yet there's, I don't even know how to say this right now. And yet there's a division. That there's faith bubbling up and there's doubt and fear and it's trying to continue to separate. I don't mean that to you. It may be just the opposite. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your world, but I'm going to tell you, there's a place that's still. If this faith gets together with this doubt, oh, I'm in trouble.
I got to keep them apart. And that's why I felt like we need to go a little bit further, because faith in some of you is so, it is bubbling up. It's great. But somewhere in the spirit realm, connect to where when we all, man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. When we all start walking out of that door, there's a change in the realm of the spirit. There's a change in the realm of the spirit, that faith has risen to a level that we all get on the back and we all say, we're going. We are going. We are going. Come on, I know you may be struggling right now, brother. I know you may be struggling, sister. But come on, let's get on the back. Let's get on his back right now. Let's get in one mind. Let's get in one accord. You know things happened. We know the scripture. When they were all together in one place, in one mind, in one accord, something supernatural began to happen in the realm of the spirit. Come on, somebody. Let faith arise in your life right now. Amen. Don't stop the process. If you stop the process, you'll totally stop progress in your life. Let it become a substance. And I close with these remarks. Let me ask you today, how much are you going to let God do for you now? Because God's got you right here, right now, on purpose. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am. He could have stopped right there. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, shall live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, yeah, I believe it. Yes, 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 yes. And I believe that I'm amongst a bunch of believers. But I think we've got, some Marthas that believe. And when she said, and when she had said it, no, she went her way. Or excuse me, let me go back. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose up quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep. And I know this is a familiar story, but I'm gonna want to make one more point. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And some of you are saying that. Lord, if you would have been there, my son wouldn't have backslid. Lord, if you would have been there, I wouldn't have had this happen to me. Lord, if you would have been there, this wouldn't have gone on. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And a very familiar scripture that we all poke fun of and say, short of scripture, and make all kinds of wisecracks. But it said Jesus wept. And what a powerful thing that happened in just those two words. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? This is happening right here in this house right now. This same type of dialogue is happening right now. Because I know there's some that want to believe. You desperately want to believe. But you humanly cannot see it possible. You can't see there be any way that it can happen. That God can come through. But I'm telling you today. I'm going to stop right there. Are you making Jesus weep? Pastor, can I say it like this? There's some that are making Jesus weep right now, and there's some that are making Jesus rejoice. Those that are making him weep are saying, Oh, if you only knew what I could do. Verse 39 said, Take away the stone. Mary, or Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, he stinketh. He's been there for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, if you just believe. So, are we here today making him rejoice?
Are we here today making him rejoice? Or are we here and they go, do you really want to see my glory? Because if you really want to see my glory, just believe it. Don't believe that. Yeah. I know the resurrection. I understand that in the future. I got all that. But Jesus was saying, right now. Every eye closed. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. I don't know what it is. But God, I don't want to grieve your spirit. Come on, somebody right now. Remember, I'm not looking for enthusiasm. I'm not looking for you to be optimistic. I'm looking for you to find something right now that is substantial, that is solid. I want the Holy Ghost to speak to you right now. Right now. Again. Come on, right now. My babies are going to be saved. Right now, my husband's going to have deliverance. Right now, my wife is going to be healed. Right now. Not future. Before I even came, I told my wife, I said, I don't understand it, honey, but I feel like God wants me to preach on faith and that God wants to do something now, not in the days to come, not in the weeks to come, not even in the hours to come. I can't help it. I'm just telling you what I feel right now, that God wants to give somebody an answer right this very moment and reassure you everything is going to be all right. I've got it all under control. I am creating the miracle right now. Lord, I don't want you weeping over me. I don't want you weeping over me because of my unbelief. I want to rejoice because I'm receiving it right now. I want to rejoice with you when I take it. I'll reach up and I grab it right now. I reach deep and I find it right now. Oh, come on, some of you. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got God in you, the hope of glory. Come on, you got to realize the gift that you have right now inside of you. It's not something to be taken lightly. It is the power of Almighty God. And he's wooing you right now, saying, come on, I want to rejoice with you. I want to rejoice with you. I want to give it to you so bad. I want you to enjoy. Now faith. Oh.
You are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Take that step. Come on, take that step. Come on. Somebody just needs to take that step. Come on. Go ahead. Ooh. Come on. Take it. Take it. Take that step. Faith has come by hearing, hearing by the word, and now it's time to increase your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith, praying
in the Holy Ghost. Men, it's time right now. Right now. Oh, to pray in the Holy Ghost. Ladies, it's time right now. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Something begins to happen when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Your faith is increased when you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important to be renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Come on, do I have any Holy Ghost filled? One God apostolic tongue talking people in the house of the Lord. Come on, right now is the time to build up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, the supernatural things of God happen when we pray in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit. Oh, my brethren, come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be reserved right now. Don't hold back anything. Ladies, come on, if you're feeling God right now wooing you into another dimension of the Spirit, I beseech you right now to pray in the Spirit, because things will happen when you pray in the Spirit. Faith begins to move. Faith begins to grow. Faith begins to break things loose. Come on. Come on, somebody. Pray in the Holy Ghost.